Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás!
Hi, sisters.
Hola.
This week in the show, my sister and I sit down and talk about a new piece of medical information my sister received on her pregnancy. She opens up. She becomes very, very vulnerable. And we thank her for that. I hope you guys get a lot of information. And we also launch our Talk, Read, Sing campaign with First Lab California.
Yay!
I'm so excited about this campaign, you guys.
I cannot wait.
And we also want to encourage all of you guys to please upload your hashtag Talk, Read, Sing moments and tips and tricks on how to talk more to your kid, read more to your kid, and sing more to your kid.
Don't forget to tag us at _supermamas and at First Five California. And at the end of this month, we will be sharing all of the things that you are sharing with us.
And we will feature you on our newsletter.
Yay!
Enjoy the show, ladies, and we will see you next week. Super Mamas!
Super Mamas!
Hello. Good morning, sisters. Happy
morning.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever day of the week you choose to listen to us. How is everyone doing?
What is up, everybody?
We had some technical difficulties today when we were recording. So, but anyway, we're back on track. Hope everyone's having amazing good vibes. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than I was doing last week. So that's great.
Awesome. What was happening last week?
Well, I think it was 2 weeks ago, actually, that I got diagnosed with gestational diabetes again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had it with Sabina, and so it was prone to happen, but I was really, really, really hopeful that it was not going to happen again. And I tried to do everything in my power to avoid it, but it happened again. And the first week, I was very, very emotional. I was very sad, disappointed at myself, and mm-hmm. it was just really hard. But I decided to, you know, just to do something about it. And so right away, I started testing my blood and changing my diet and, you know, doing all the fun things that come with gestational diabetes.
It is your second time at this, right?
It's my second time. And the first time I got it under control and it was great. I think it was the best I ever looked, you know, when I was pregnant with Sabina.
Well, the food, like your diet that you currently have, I mean, it's a great diet. And even like I was away for 2 weeks when I was in Oaxaca and I came back and I was like, dang, girl, you look good. You've been losing weight or what?
I did lose weight, actually, which is crazy because I eat so much so often now. And I think it's just like your metabolism, right? Like the more you eat on time, healthy foods. Like, don't get me wrong, I still have like tacos for lunch and salad and stuff, and I still have good food. I think it's a myth that you can't eat anything, you know. On the contrary, you have to eat a lot more. Like, I have to eat every 3 hours my alarm goes off, like eat. So I'm constantly eating, but I think it's just about making smarter choices instead mm-hmm. of having 6 tacos and I only have 2, yeah. Or, you know, like, it depends on what time of the day also. Like, I cannot eat it like really early in the morning or like really late at night. It's this whole thing that it's like overwhelming, just the logging and the, you know, the tracking.
The pinching,
which I hate. I hate needles. I think everybody knows that by now. So this is like a torture for me, like every day. I have to do it 4 times a day. But I found my best nurse and I have her at home. And Krista, you know, Krista does it for me at least 2 or 3 times a day. You know, she pokes my finger.
That's cute though.
And she's, no, but she's really helpful because she doesn't really notice what is happening. She just like, no. And then she's always talking to me. So
maybe you should put a picture of what the needle looks like for those of you who've never have to
pinch. It's a really tiny, tiny needle. But it's just, I think it's just the anxiety of feeling that for me. I've realized that needles make me very, very, very anxious. And I was telling you that this weekend, our brother, Fernando, came over to the house and he was sitting right next to me. And I was like, hey, Fernando, can you do it? Like, and he's like, 1, 2. And I got so anxious. Like, my face got all red and I got like shaky, and Dad was there and he was like, calm down. I was like, this is exactly what happens. Like, I cannot do it myself. Because when I try to do it myself, maybe I don't push the button.
Maybe you should take the opportunity to like beat this fear. Maybe like you're strong. You have a strong woman inside of you that's helping you fight this fear that you've had all your life. Maybe this is the time for you to overcome your needle fear.
And bring it on. Keep pinching me. No, but I was like, when I try to do it myself, I cannot push that damn button. I just can't. And I just keep getting like more anxious and more anxious and more anxious. And then every time I try to do it myself, my blood is high because I get really worked up.
And how are you dealing now with like your guilt? Is that like gone? How are you dealing with that? Because it's difficult, right? Like
It is.
You receive news like that and then people start telling you like, well, you shouldn't have had that and you shouldn't have that. On top of you already telling yourself, there's outside forces telling you like it's your fault or some way or form making you feel like it's you.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with you. That you know, so like how are you dealing with that? Are you still dealing with some of those emotions or?
No, I think, well, now I have more tools than before, right? Before, I think if this would have happened like a year or something ago, it would be completely different. But I am reading, I am meditating, I am just trying to be kinder to myself because there's really nothing I can do at this point. You know, it's like mom telling me like, I don't even know when you're having another baby. Like, I'm like, mom, I'm 5 weeks away. Like, really, like there's nothing I can do at this point except, you know, there's no way I can send this baby back. Like, but just deal with it. Same thing. Like, I just have to take care of things and really take action to deal with this instead of just, you know, mourning on the situation. And it was hard the first week and I cried and, you know, it was really hard because I really want to have a home birth. And if I don't get it under control, it's not going to happen. So I had to, you know, get myself back and read and meditate. And I'm reading this really good book that my best friend gave me. It's called Mindful Birthing. And they talk about all those things about just letting it be and accepting things the way they are and being kind to yourself. And I'm trying. I'm really trying. And I think now that I have it under control, quote unquote, it's easier. It's easier for me to say like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it is what it is, but at least I'm doing something about it. You know, and then there's people that check up on me, like the doctors or the midwife and everything. So they keep me, what do you call it?
On check?
They keep me on check. So I have support. I have a lot of support. My husband's very supportive. You know, he's very supportive on this. When I told him the result, he was like, it's okay. Maybe it was today. Maybe because you were stressed. Like, let's try it again. So he's never made me feel like it's my fault. So I have a lot of people that support me, and I think that's great. That's the other thing that I have this time around. I have a bigger support group around me, that people that are just helping me. So that's been definitely really helpful. I meet with my doula once a week. We go over, I meet with my midwife. So I have a really good team around me that is not just like, ah, you know, but they're also like emotionally supportive. So that's great.
Isn't it crazy to see the difference of like having tools and having tools, and being at that place where you are no longer dwelling on either the past or the present. Mm-hmm. You're looking at what to do to fix the situation.
And it's hard.
And putting your focus there.
Yeah.
You know, putting your focus on the end result.
Yeah.
Right? You focus on, I want to have a home birth. Okay, how do I make this happen?
Yeah.
And it can be so easy to stay dwelling, and it's easier to mourn than it is to do action. So it's amazing that it's great.
I think like when you first receive the news, it's shock, you know, like like they tell me I have to leave work earlier this time around. So when they told me that,
I don't believe that. I want to see a doctor's note.
They told me I have to leave work earlier. And I was like, oh my God, no. So that really stressed me out like for a few days. And I was like, oh my God, I can't. But now I'm like, okay, if I leave everything set to place, it just means me not being physically here at the restaurant. And I find that like when I'm at home and I'm working from there, it's easier for me because I know I can get to listen to my music and just, so I was like, I can do it. I'm constantly talking to my staff right now, to the staff, and letting them know that I am going to have to leave earlier and I need help. And everybody has been extremely supportive here.
You're playing the pregnant card?
I'm going to juice it up.
That's the best.
I'm going to juice it up. But I'm pregnant. So they're like, don't worry. Every time they talk to me, they're like, Paulina, we don't want you to like stress, but this is happening. You know, I'm like, okay. All right, just tell me. Or every time they call me, honestly, like, Paulina, I do not want to call you. And I'm so sorry that I'm calling you. I don't want to stress you, but but this is happening. Someone just got burned. Someone got really burned recently. Anyway, and not physically. Yeah, so, you know, it's great. I have a lot of people around me.
Awesome.
I have my family too. Everybody.
That's incredible. Well, moving on to our interview. I don't want to like rush past this, but we have to get to the show. We will have a special episode regarding all of this. Don't worry, sisters. We just wanted to get to the interview that we have today with Jamie Lopez of First Five California, launching our Talk Reading campaign in partnership with First Five California. This is a campaign that my sister and I have been very much looking forward to for a long time. We're so excited that we're able to finally announce it to you, sisters, and to really encourage all of you guys to increase your talking, reading, and singing with your kids. We have a Talk, Read, Sing challenge that we'll talk about more in the show. But for now, we want to ask you guys to please don't forget to hashtag your Talk, Read, Sing moments with your kids on Instagram and on Facebook, and let us know what you do to encourage talking, reading, and singing. And at the end of this month, we are going to feature you, sisters, in our newsletter and in our Instagram. So make sure to tag us. Paulina, what's the tags?
@_SuperMamas and @First5California.
#TalkReadSing. Enjoy our interview with Jamie Lopez of First Five California. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you very much.
We are very happy that you're here today. But let's start off by introducing you and talk a little bit about
who you are,
a little bit about your husband and your son and your crazy mother-in-law. I'm just your crazy Mexican mother-in-law.
Yes. Well, I'm with First Five California, and I've worked there for almost 10 years now in our communications office. And what I do there is I help to educate families and caregivers of children ages 0 to 5 on the health and education of our youngest kids in California, and how to help support that, how to teach parents to be the first best caregiver of their children.
Now, you've worked there for 10 years and your son is 9.
My son's 8 years old.
Years old. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So how has that evolved? How has that evolved your career?
It's changed my perspective completely. I started there just, no children at all, no real concept, because I don't have any younger siblings or any children in my family. So very little concept on the idea, except for that, it was a good idea. And when I got pregnant, and from that point on, everything that happened to me, every experience I had being pregnant and with him, I just felt, oh, somebody needs to hear about this. I know moms out there need to know this, or they're dying to know this, because I'm Googling all the time for more information. Is this, happening to other people? Do they feel the same way as I do? And so it was an inspiration to share my experiences and my information and my knowledge.
Like, there's a switch in your brain. Like, once you become a mom, it's like, it's just like a whole new world that you didn't even, you see the concept of motherhood, you're like, oh, that's cute. But once you become a mom, it just like changes opens everything. Up, right?
Yes, it does. It's crazy. It does.
You almost like become part of this club that you never knew existed, but you saw it from afar.
Uh-huh, yes.
I think that's the reason why my sister and I also started the podcast, because you're like, there's gotta be more mothers out there that think like this. It's impossible that I'm the only one.
And everybody thinks the same.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you get your, you have your friends pre-children, and then as you're transitioning, you know, you're kind of like, oh, they don't have kids and you do. And so you're finding that your new cliques, your new friends that do have the, you know, children the same age as yours, that you're starting to find more in common with them, and you're finding that there's something else of interest to you. So
I want to talk a little bit about a first five, because I, for all our California listeners, we hear first five all the time, right? Yeah. And I think, like, this is what happens. I think nowadays there's so much information. We're bombarded by a lot of content nowadays.
Yeah.
That sometimes we hear things, but nothing really, like, soaks into her brain, or we want to learn more about, you know. I've always seen first five, but for a long time I didn't really know what it was, you know. I and now that I have a two-year-old, I'm like, okay, we need to figure out how to get more information, like you say. Mm-hmm. how do I develop, how can I work so he develops more, you know. Right. I think all of us want to have the next Albert Einstein, you know.
Yeah, living in our home, right? Yes.
So tell us a little bit about First Five and all the great work that you guys are doing in California for young kids.
Yeah, so, well, First Five was started by a voter-approved Proposition 10 in 1998. And since then, there's a statewide commission that works on a statewide level to develop programs that would benefit all Californians on a statewide level. But each county has also developed a commission that works to develop programs specific to their constituents. Mm. So, you know, somebody living in, you know, Kern County, or somebody living in Tulare, or Los Angeles or Sacramento, wherever you're living, there's a commission in your county that is developing programs specific to the needs of your community. And I would say to moms, if they're looking for to reach out and find out what's available to me specifically in my area, start there. That's a good place to start. On a statewide level, we are trying to reach out to people and educate them and provide information on a statewide level, and just inform parents and inform families about things that they may have heard or they may not know. One of the things that we're doing now is our Talk, Read, Sing and outreach program. It's our most successful campaign.
I love that. Talk, Read, Sing. I think it's so important for kids.
And it's a simple idea, and it's really to tell people that you don't need money. You really just need a voice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be doing talking, reading, singing with your child anytime, and it can be almost anything. You can be talking to them while you're making dinner, talking to them in the car, and reading to them is, you know, vitally important. Singing with them in the car or during bath time, or, you know, so many different opportunities where you think, I have no time to do anything, that you just fit those things in because all you need is your voice. And those little actions have a huge impact on their developing brains.
And most of us have memories of when we were kids, of songs that we would sing that are so, like, for us, classic, like Cri Cri, and, you know mm-hmm. those songs that we already know, where we're like, oh, I don't know any songs, but we do. Like, we just don't remember, and we just have to, like, reactivate and just sing to the kids, whatever. Even if it's not kids' songs, I feel like any kind of songs that you like, you can just sing to them and talk to them. And a lot of people don't know that you can actually talk to your baby since the baby's inside of you. Mm-hmm. And the baby listens the whole time. They hear you, they recognize your voice. So it's very important to start talking to them, like, really early. And then you get into the habit of talking to them once they're out also.
Right. And they're not going to respond necessarily. Right. They're not going to comprehend your words. Mm-hmm. But inside their head, that their brain is making those neural connections, and that's happening. And the repeated positive verbal interactions are making a massive difference. And you're going to see that difference years down the road when they start school. They're going to have a greater vocabulary. They're going to have a better comprehension of vocabulary.
And also another thing that I personally loved about this campaign, that you guys are not focusing on just reading, but talking and singing.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a huge, like, pressure to read to your kids. Don't get me wrong. Right. Reading is extremely important. I think it's the most important thing you can do with your kids, you know. But sometimes when you tell a mom, like, you must read to your kid, it becomes sort of like a thing you have to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And it becomes like, well, I don't have time for a bedtime story right now.
It's carving
right?
out time.
It's carving out time.
People worry about that. Yeah.
But when you're talking about just talking and singing, you make those sort of vocal accessibility more accessible to your children and to moms. You know, you're like, it's okay. If one day you didn't reach your kid, it's okay. But did you talk to him?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you communicate to him?
Right.
Did you, and even if, you know, did you sing with him in the car? Did mm-hmm. you bring out those sort of melodies into his brain so he can make those newer connections? Like, are you doing that? You know, and again, I think we just put so much emphasis on reading sometimes that we forget about the importance of just having conversations with our children and singing.
Yeah, and as good as reading is, and, you know, you develop not only an interest in them to become readers as they get older, but the talking, too. I mean, that's part of developing early literacy, is that they hear those words and they start to understand them the more they hear them, and that's just through conversation.
And communication skills, too, you know. I think that now in the world that we live in, that everything is so apart from each other, everything is more through a screen, a lot of communication skills are being lost. And the more you have that communication with your kids when you sit down and you know, I always tell my kid, with my baby, I always practice, like, looking me in the eye when you talk to me. So, like, when he tries to look away, I'm like, no, repeat it and, like, talk, like, look at my eyes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like, I do that with him. So he kind of, you know, like, learns that eye-on-eye contact, it's so important, and you do that through talking, you know?
Yeah, and you're fully engaged then, too.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like sometimes, because when they're little, we feel like we can't talk to them because they don't understand. They do. Like, a year or two later, they're repeating things that you told them, like, when they were baby, and you're like, oh my God, you were actually listening. Like, with my first child, I was going through, I didn't know I was new in motherhood and all that, so I would just try to give her, like, baby things, baby words, you know, like, it was different. But eventually, I would just say things, and as she got older, she started repeating back things to me that I was like, oh, you actually understood what I was talking about, like, a year ago. And I was very taken back and surprised, and then realized that I shouldn't just talk to her at, like, a kid, like, a baby level, but I should just talk to her as a person. Mm-hmm. And it was very important.
Additionally, maybe, you know, even if they aren't understanding the words, they're hearing the inflection in your voice as well. And so, you know, positive verbal engagements, that includes the tone of your voice, mm-hmm. and that is encouraging to them as well.
So really, at what age should we start reading to our children?
Before birth. And we say from birth, but I'd say even, you know, in your utero, when you're pregnant and you're, you know, resting on the couch, sure, why not? They're going to hear, they feel the vibrations of your voice inside you.
Yeah.
And they'll recognize your voice afterwards, after they're born. But most definitely from birth, They like the sound of their mother's and father's voices, and it's calming and it's pleasing to the babies.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, they react. Like, every baby that I've had inside of me reacts different to different things.
Yeah.
Both of my previous pregnancies, because we have live music here at the restaurant, they would always be calm about it, you know, like nothing really happened. But this pregnancy, like a few days ago, I went to a movie and it was really loud, and she just did not want to be there. Like, I've heard that before. People are like, oh, the baby didn't like it. And I was like, okay, whatever. But I actually felt it. Like, it was so uncomfortable, and she just could not stop moving, that I actually had to get out of the movie theater and leave because he was too much. Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, really? I said, yeah, you know, she feels, she hears. It's crazy, but she feels it. She hears it. And well, she did not like it.
Your tummy's not soundproof.
Yeah. So they do hear. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I was like, oh my God, that's so true. Yeah. It's just, certain sounds are pleasing when I sing, when she's calm. But when there's, like, really loud things, she didn't like it. It was crazy.
It is crazy, too, to remember the things that I used to play for on the belly buds. I used to put music for my baby. My husband used to put a lot of Queen in my belly when he was, like, a newborn. We would listen to a lot of that. And right now, he's, like, obsessing over, like, his, like, favorite songs are from Billy Idol and, like, David Bowie right now. Like, he's obsessed with, like, Under Pressure and
Dancing with Myself,
mm-hmm. Ice Without a Face, Rebel Yell are, like, his jams right now.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, I think, I mean, that must have come from when he was a toddler and we would play this music in the background that I thought made no difference, yeah. but it actually makes such a huge difference.
Well, I'll swear up and down that my son would dance around in my tummy when the Eagles would play. Anytime Witchy Woman was on, my son was dancing around. And I would say that he's moving. Yeah. He's moving to this song. He's dancing in there. I know it.
I know. They do.
Yeah. So let's talk about toddlers right now. And like, what part of the brain is developing at this age of being toddlers? And what activities can we do to help our toddlers express creativity and develop language skills and learn how to problem solve?
Well, like I said, at this, you know, before they're 3 years old, 4 years old, the neural connections are happening at breakneck speed, millions every single day. So if you cater to those and you reinforce those by engaging in activities that will strengthen those, then, you know, that's really good and that's really supportive of the brain exercise. Mm-hmm. So doing things like reinforcing literacy and playing games even, you know, things that it doesn't have to feel like you're doing work, you mm-hmm. know, it can just be play, because that's part of, you know, that's the fourth step in the talk, read, sing, you know, that's the play, engage, play, and do these things. So playing, you know, rhyming games or playing with letters, playing with numbers, and, you know, finding something that they like and just doing that over again so they get comfortable with, you know, seeing those and being familiar with those things, words, short words. And especially with toddlers, you want to use things that will stick. Rhymes are very good for toddlers. They really like rhyming.
Rhymes, oh, yeah.
And also a second language, right? Yes. You know, my sister and I, we both try, well, she's better at it, you know, raising bilingual kids, especially in her household, you know, it's a Spanish household. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference between your firstborn and your secondborn.
Completely. Yeah. My first daughter, you know, my husband and I would really just speak Spanish, everything was Spanish. The first book that I ever read, I was thinking, like, what's the first book that I read to her? And it was a Spanish book, everything was Spanish. By the time I had my second baby, I feel like my oldest was already in preschool, so she was already interacting with more English speaking, and her English was like really good. Mm-hmm. So she started talking to the baby in English. We started talking a little bit more. My husband is like learning, trying to perfect his English, so he really practices with the kids. And now my baby, it's bilingual. My baby is bilingual. If I tell her, like, I don't wanna, I'm like, I no entiendo, you know, mm-hmm. and then she has to talk to me in Spanish. She does, but her first instinct is to talk in English and to say in English. And it's been hard because my oldest watches different things, listens to different things from school. Mm-hmm. Even though she's in a bilingual environment, you know, the little friends always like have a favorite cartoon or this or that. And it's in English. The little one is getting more English than the first one. So it definitely has changed. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little bit more challenging this time around. But we still really try to keep it. In Spanish.
Well, young children are really receptive to learning a second language. So it's a really good time, if you're going to do that, to do it. And there's so many advantages to children growing up with a second language. And, you know, just later in life, you know, in careers, you know, the advancements that are available to them, mm-hmm. knowing a second language. So it's a really good thing to do. And, you know, practicing at home, you don't have to be an expert in, you know, a second language yourself. But, you know, just doing little things to engage them with that and introduce them to that second language is a really wonderful thing, because it's, you know, opens their mind to learning that second language when it's a good time to do that.
Right.
When do you think it's sort of like that pivotal moment in a child's development to introduce them to a second language or to just really focus on a second language?
Right away. And you can do it from home, not just in schools, because I know a lot of people do the immersion schools, but doing it from home as well, mm-hmm. even if that's not necessarily your second language or your primary language, just, you know, having it at home, making it feel like a comfortable thing that exists in home life as well, and doing it right from the start. There's, you know, science research has shown that the children are not slower learners of language when they are learning two languages. No. I think that's a myth that had existed for a while, that they will be slower at learning one language or you know, if they're learning too. That's not the case.
It is not. My daughter goes to a full immersion school, mm-hmm. and it's a 90-10. So 90% it's in Spanish, and she started reading and writing in Spanish first. And then this summer or recently, you know, she picks up a book in English and she reads it.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed because, you know, she doesn't learn in English at school, but she just knew how to do it. And she writes and she reads and, you know, she tells me like, oh, mom, this says this. And I was surprised. I was like, I thought she was going to have a harder time, but she doesn't have a hard time.
Yeah, it's amazing yeah. how easy it comes to children and how it doesn't feel like work. Like an adult yeah. say, oh, I've got to learn a second language. This is going to be so hard. Children, it's pretty easy. It comes fairly quickly to them.
Yeah, it does.
I want to talk about preschool as well. I know my sister goes to dual immersion school and preschool. The preschool that I go to isn't. I do try to introduce them to a lot of Spanish at home. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about like preschool itself and maybe what age you recommend parents consider placing their kids in preschool, if at all.
Well, you know, preschool is a wonderful idea, especially if you're looking to prepare your child for, you know, the later years, kindergarten, and you want to set them up for, you know, being familiar with that classroom setting, getting them prepared to work with teachers that will give them directions if they are not comfortable or not used to working or doing what anyone else tells them other than you, then it's a good idea to kind of get them started in that environment where they're starting to learn to work with other adults and other children mm-hmm. and cooperate and share, work together and socialize mm-hmm. and learning how to socialize with other kids as well. And those all contribute, as well as the activities that they do in preschool, all start to set them up for what they're going to face in kindergarten and first grade. And, you know, it goes from there. But it's a really good starting point. I know that there's a lot of families that like to do homeschooling in those first years before they have to start sending their kid to school. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, you know, if you're doing that, that's wonderful. And yeah. you just want to try and, you know, provide as much as you can, you know, look at curriculums, right. see what it is that they're learning, but still consider that, you know, there's an element of that socialization, working with other children and learning how to be part of a group and collaborate, that they still also should learn and should be part of it, you know, once that they're going to need to do once they get into kindergarten and grade school.
But also, like, I think we mentioned a little bit, like, if you choose to not send your kid to preschool mm-hmm. and do something at home, do you think, like, maybe play dates or sort of having a more group interaction, would that be something that would be
those are similar? Wonderful options. I mean, I think that, you know, any mom, you know, it's obviously her choice to, you know, what she thinks is best. But I think that you want to look at what it is you're looking for, what you want for your child, and then where you see they can thrive the best.
Yeah, in what environment? Because every kid is different, right? Yeah. Like, no, it's like, I think I always I talk about this all the time. And I always say, like, we sort of always put children in this little box that they're like a different, that they're not human beings, mm-hmm. right? That they're just like children.
Yeah.
But we forget that, like, look at us, like, even in this room, you know, we, like, you have different interests than I do. And my sister and I, even though we come from the same sperm, in the same womb,
yeah.
right? We were raised in the same household.
Very different.
We are completely different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes we box kids in this one group saying, like, all of them are the same and children need to. It's like, but every human being is unique.
Yeah,
yeah. You absolutely.
Know, it's like, and we have to embrace the uniqueness of our children.
Yeah.
We have to embrace their differences. And some kids are special needs kids. Some kids are, you know, some kids are really just mathematical geniuses from the moment they leave the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And some yeah. kids are singers. Some kids right. are, you know, we all come with different gifts. And I think we need to embrace those and know, like, And like the mother's instinct is so big.
Yes.
So important. And we know what's best for our kids.
Yeah. And you see that when you walk into any preschool any day, at drop off time, moms are dropping their kids off. And there's one kid who can't get into the classroom fast enough. And yeah. Goodbye, mom. See you later.
Yeah.
And then there's the kid who won't let go of mom.
Yes. Yeah. I see it every morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're very different. And, you know, again, you know, to each their own, what is the best for your, what are your child's needs? What do mm-hmm. you think is best to help your child thrive?
It gets difficult once there's multiple at the house, but yes, mm-hmm. you have to.
Yeah.
And I think just listen to your kid, right? Just right. really listen. Sometimes
try things.
Sometimes as adults, we really try to impose things on them and say like, well, this is what works for your brother. Or this is now you're going to do it. Or
yes.
this is what I like. So now you're going to do it. And they're like, why? You know, so we have to kind of listen. And at least I know for me and a lot of us, you know, with like a Mexican background, I'm saying like we're so used to like our parents telling us what to do, because my mom would just not even have to say anything. She would just have to look at me and I'd be like, okay, I know exactly what to do. But you know, it's hard to let go of that, and it's hard to let go of that perception that we know what they want, and we know what they, you know, when what's going on in their mind,
right?
And just slow down and say, okay, tell me what you need, tell me what you want. You know, it's important to.
Yeah. And are you doing what's right for them versus, you know, obviously children are young and they're going to want things that, you know, that's going to satisfy them in the moment.
Like cookies for breakfast.
You have to analyze what is right for them. You know, a little bit of what they want, a little bit of what they need, and putting it together. Yeah.
What are some of the resources that we can find on the First Five site that moms can benefit from?
Well, if you go to firstfivecalifornia.com, is our parent site, and there's lots of information. There's activities that you can pull from there, like what we were talking about earlier, things that you can do with babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. So there's lots of different activities that are age appropriate. There's information on the brain science. So if you're really interested and you want to read more about it, you can go there and get some real in-depth information and then look into some of the research that's out there.
What's the website again?
firstfivecalifornia.com.
Perfect. Oh, that's
awesome. Okay, well, we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we are going to come back with our new segment that we just begun, which is our Talk Read Sync segment. And we will share some tips on how to introduce talking, reading, and singing with your kid. We'll be right back. And we're back with our Talk Read Sync segment, where we are going to share some of our tips and how we introduce talking, reading, and singing to our children. So would you like to go first?
Well, my son has been with part of First Five since he was born. So for him, it's almost second nature. He is almost a spokesperson. And so he goes around talking about Talk, Read, Sing to everybody that he runs into on his own. So, but when he, you know, we do a lot of talking and, conversing with each other and reading. Now he's getting older. He's doing a lot of reading to me. So I let him do the reading, and it's really nice because
there's a point when that happens.
Yeah, there is. And it's really awesome. But when he was little, we would read a lot of the stuff that he liked to hear about. And it was, you know, a lot of the rhyming stuff. What I was saying earlier is he loved Dr. Seuss stories, and he had a particular hang up on the Oswald opposites.
Oh.
And he liked hearing about opposites. What is the opposite of that? And what is the opposite of this? You know, so we read a lot of those, and I did try to do some bilingual reading with him as well, to introduce him. And now if I can just get him to, you know, say some, I teach him a little bit of Spanish, but I think he's kind of twisted some of the words and I can't get him back onto the right way of saying some of the words from his toddler years. But yeah, we've read a lot of the fun stuff that, but it's evolved now into a lot of chapter books were in chapter books, and he reads those to me now.
That's so cool. That's amazing. Are there any favorites that you have, even currently now? He doesn't, you know, now that he's a little older, and some of the
Magic Treehouse stories. Those are really great stories because they're about two little kids that go on adventures, and so all these historical things that happened, they go and visit those periods. They're like a little time machine, and they go back in time and visit these events, like the earthquakes in San Francisco, or the Titanic, or something like that, or dinosaurs.
That's really cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, really and cool. So they have a little adventure in that time period, and then they get back into their treehouse and come back to modern day. And so it's pretty neat stories.
I'm gonna look into that.
It's like the magical school bus. Remember those?
Yes.
Right, I still put that. It's on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, I put it for my daughter.
Oh,
I'm like, I used to watch that.
The teacher has like glasses, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then they go inside a human, and then they go little and big. I love it. It was so cute.
Paulina, what are some of your tips on how you incorporate talk, reading, and singing with your kid?
Well, like now that girls, put my girls. Well, for it's different, right? For like Krista, when what I try to do now that you were saying that your kid reads back to you is like at bedtime, what I do is like I tell her, okay, I'm gonna read one page and then you read the other page. So we, you know, I read one and then she reads one, and then I read one and then she reads one, and that way I feel like she's reading and then talking back to me. And so it's just a good way also for me to say, just to say, oh, but do you understand? And we look back at the drawings and we discuss every drawing, everything. Like, well, this is happening, and, you know. So she really enjoys that. She's like, Mom, okay, now this page is yours and that page is mine. So we try to do it together. So that's really neat, like doing it where before it was just me.
Yeah.
But now we are doing it together. And for my little one, oh, my God. For her, it's all about music. She loves music. She loves dancing. She loves everything. Her favorite song is Despacito, of course. Yeah, everybody's favorite song is Despacito. So for her, I think it's that. And she loves to sing. So I know that for her, all I have to do is put music. And then she'll start just singing along. Or she sings by herself. And so I've recognized that for one is reading. And for the other one is definitely singing. So just playing, like, for I have, like, a playlist on Spotify that's only for them. And it's only in Spanish. And so I always put it. And now I know it, when she's, like, even just changing, she just sings on her own. So I'm like, okay, it's working. She's responding.
That's
so
great.
You know, always listening to music, all kinds of music, but you know, I have a playlist for them, but they like all kind of music. So that's what I do with both of them.
One tip that I have that I actually learned from my baby's previous school that we miss a lot, is that whenever they would call out for a kid, they would sing their name. So for Eduardo, when they would, instead of screaming, they'll go like, Eduardo, you know, or like Lady Erica, like they would sing out their names. And I was like, in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, like that's weird. But now he's no longer there. So we realized how great that was. Yeah. So now at home, we sing each other's names when we call each other. That way it doesn't sing like when you're kind of like calling out for somebody, you know, there's a lot of screaming going on in homes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you call out for something like, hey, can you pass me that, you know, or mm-hmm. I have an upstairs and a downstairs, so there's, you know, there's Mom. A lot, yeah, you know. So we've incorporated that into every day to now wherever we say someone's name, we sing it. And I don't know if that makes a huge difference or not, but I feel like, you know, as long as you can incorporate a bit of harmony into your everyday life, mm-hmm. can also make a huge difference in your kid. You know, we would all love our kids to be the next, either Einstein or maybe the next, I don't know, J-Lo, Barack Obama, you know, a very well, yeah. We all want them to be very well-rounded individuals.
Right.
And to me, you know, the arts is really important. And the more I can introduce harmonization, it's, you know, it's to me, it's like, I feel like I did my part for that day.
Right. You know? Well, yeah. In addition, these, you know, talking, reading, singing, in whatever form it happens, mm-hmm. it, as long as it's in a positive way, you're also building confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And with your children, you know, they're feeling good about their engagements with people, their verbal engagements. And so it's building up their confidence.
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, my little one just can sing and dance in front of anybody. And my older one will not even, yeah, you know, be social at all. So it's, I can see the difference right away between both of them.
Awesome. Well, we also want to hear all of our mom's tips and tricks and how they incorporate talk, read, sing. So please don't forget to share by tagging at First Five California and tagging us at underscore supermas. And of course, using the hashtag talk, read, sing. We want to see pictures of you guys, of all of you mamas, all you sisters. How do you incorporate talk, reading, and singing to your kid? Tell us, or just send us as I was gonna send us a snap and like no send us an Insta story, send us a DM, send us a picture,
send us an email,
and we will be doing a recap of all of your tips, yes, at the end of this month and putting it on a newsletter. So again, hashtag talk, read, sing, and tag at First South California and at underscore supermamas. We'll be right back with our supermama pick or tip of the week. And we're back with our supermama pick or tip of the week, where we share things that we buy, but we will buy again because we buy a lot of stuff, right? A lot of stuff we won't rebuy. And things that we do that work for us and have worked with us for a very long time. So let's start with Jamie. Jamie Lopez, J-Lo. Can I call you J-Lo?
Yeah, I get that. I do get that. Got that for a long time.
What is your supermama pick or tip of the week?
Well, as far as things that I buy, I actually have a subscription to audiobooks.com that I love. And even though it's something, you know, I'm having a app read to my son, it is a nice thing when it's actually time for him to lay down and go to sleep. This is something that will help put him to sleep, because if I'm there or if he's up reading, he'll sit up. He'll stay up. Mm-hmm. So the audiobooks.com, I've been able to buy books, and they are really good. They sound good. They aren't, you know, read poorly or cheaply, and they've got like the good sound effects that go with them.
Really? They have sound effects. They have
effects, like the musical sound effects, and the, like I was saying earlier about the Magic Tree House books, we bought all those, and the author is the one who actually reads them. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So it's pretty neat because
and then you get to hear it too.
Very authentic. Yes, I do get to hear it.
It's like a story. Yeah, like a story. Like somebody.
Yeah. So it's an app. It is a subscription, and so cool. It's really worth it to me.
Awesome. Do you have another one? I know you have a lot of tips.
Yes. So, well, First Five, we do have a Facebook and Instagram and a Pinterest page that if anybody's interested, our Facebook and Instagram is at First Five California, and our Pinterest is at First Five CA. And so there's going to be tips and information for parents. They're specifically geared towards families. So there's going to be lots of really fun activities and interesting, cool ideas on Pinterest, like you always see on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Things that you never thought of doing.
Yeah, I love Pinterest.
Pinterest is my jam.
yeah, exactly. And then, of course, our Facebook, where, you know, people can interact with each other and read articles or links to other things.
And I hear you also, guys, also have like a radio. Not like a radio station, like a station,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have a Pandora station. And that's also English and Spanish. We have both English and Spanish songs on there. And it's all fun kids songs, First Five,
Despacito
kids station.
It has to be.
We do update it. So we do kind of rotate the songs in and out, what's popular right now with kids, you know. And we do have a lot of the good standards and then a lot of what they're liking, you know, the latest, you know, movie that's out, that one song.
Yeah.
You know, Moana. A few years back, the Frozen song that every kid wanted to hear over and
You're
over
welcome.
Again. Right. And so
I know the whole CD.
It's a really nice thing, you know, when you're in the car, you can sing along together.
Yeah. It's very, very, it's a good time.
Awesome. So I'll go next. My pick is going to be these books. They're called Muma Blue. You can find them on Instagram at Muma Blue, at MUMABLUE. And they are actually personalized storybooks for kids. And they can be in Spanish or in English. And what's the best thing is, like, you can actually put your baby's name to be the main character of the story and personalize the character for the character to look like your kid.
That is so cool.
So they have, like, different hairstyles. They have different colors of skin. They have different eyes. That's they have they have different hair color. I mean, it's super cool. And the baby's picture is right in the front. And at the end, you can actually put up whatever picture you want of your family and dedicate the book to your kid.
That's really cool.
The one that I have is called Burbujas, and my baby loves it so much. It's a really cool story. It's in Spanish, and he loves to read it. And that's sort of what we read at night. And but yeah,
order one.
Muma Blue. I love it. It's awesome. So
no, I'm looking at the Instagram. I'm like, oh my god, I need to get one.
I know, right?
Like yesterday.
Paulina,
I have two tips. One, because I've seen it with my little one. My mom bought a loteria game. She bought a loteria game like a few weeks ago, and my parents are staying with us right now, and they play loteria every night with them. And my two-year-old wins every time. Like, it's crazy, but she wins. She's like, oh, it's here. And so now she knows the words. So my dad sings and is like, oh, el que sube en la noche, la luna. And then she's like, I got it. I don't got it. I got it. I don't got it. She says, I don't got it. And she wins all the time. And she loves it. And I noticed that the more they play, she's associating the words with the pictures. I know you were saying mm-hmm. like pictures and words. And I know our friends at Little Libros are coming up with their new loteria game. So I am so excited for that. So if you guys don't know, check out Little Libros. They're having their new loteria game. But I think loteria is such a good game to start associating words and pictures. Yeah. And, you know, she says now and Krista, you know, in Mexico, when you play loteria, people say like little stories like, oh, el que sube por la noche. Or el que, you know, so Krista now makes her own things up.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
So loteria, I didn't really realize that such a simple game that, you know, it's so classical. It's really good for kids. So you guys should try and play loteria with your kids.
Oh, I know. It was so cute. Do that. Yeah.
And Sabina wins all the time. Oh. For real.
She must be a very competitive person.
Yeah, she is. Carissa's like, oh no, Carissa won again. I'm like, I know she did.
You mean Sabina.
Sabina. Sabina won again, Mom. Let's team up together. I'm like, okay, let's team up.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was incredible.
Thank you.
I am so excited to be partnering with you guys and your talk, Reed Singh. I mean, when we heard about the campaign, we were like all about it. You know, how can we not support something like this? You know, it's so important. And just to like see your little baby's brains develop and to see them like grow up, it's such a magical and such a privilege, really. So thank you. And we want to remind moms to visit First Five California website and social media. The website, firstfivecalifornia.com, Instagram at firstfivecalifornia.
They have a YouTube channel.
Facebook at firstfivecalifornia. And the YouTube is just YouTube.com/user/firstfiveca. So check those out. And also their Pinterest page, which is their Pinterest page is First5CA. I mean, you guys are pretty much everywhere.
All over social media.
We cannot miss you. Okay? And again, tag them, Talk Reed Singh, and tag us at @_supermamas and Instagram at First5California. Paulina, where can they find us, Supermamas?
Find us at @_supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamas.la on the web.
Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jamie Lopez for coming out here.
We had J-Lo today.
And we will see you moms next week. Super Mamas!
Super Mamas! Can you give us a Super Mamas?
Super Mamas!